The Colorado River has a lot of fish in it, but not all are native and not all are nice. Chrissy Wilson is the Native Aquatic Species Program Coordinator at the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. She oversees a statewide program for native fish, amphibians, reptiles, and mollusks. Ross Chambliss spoke with her about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Colorado River's fish and what's being done to protect the natives.
Can you describe the Upper Colorado River Endangered Fish Recovery Program? What is that? What is its purpose?
So there are four fish that have been listed endangered in the Green in Colorado, which comprises the Upper Colorado River Basin. Those four species are razorback sucker, Colorado pike minnow, bony tail, and humpback chub. Those four species have been listed endangered for some of them 20-plus years, and we've been working towards recovery of those four species within that Upper Colorado system. The Upper Colorado River Program was put together to facilitate enhancement, protection, conservation, water use for water users, so we still allow people to develop water while we try to recover these four endangered fishes. The thing that's very unique about this program is that it's used as a program nationwide for folks to look at as a successful program. And the reason being is that if you're familiar with when someone files a water application and they want to obtain water to use for irrigation, many times they are sued. There's a lot of lawsuits that are involved whenever anybody wants to take water from somewhere. Well, this program was set up specifically to allow recovery, but still allow water development. So in the last 15, 20 years that this program has been in place, we've had something along the lines of several thousand water applications that have been approved. Their mitigation is the program. So it's very unique in that way that we still are allowing water development, but we are working together to recover the species. So it's very unique in that aspect.
I see. The next question is really, why are these fish endangered? And I understand part of the answer perhaps comes from how the river's environment has changed since the beginning of the last century.
Right. If you think about the dams that have been put on, you know, the Flaming Gorge Dam, these fish are what we call big river fishes. The Colorado pike minnow is known to migrate hundreds of miles. So if you think about the Colorado River system, it used to be 500, 600, 700 miles from the headwaters all the way to Mexico is where the Colorado River system used to run. So these fish, specifically the Colorado pike minnow, they used to migrate 400 or 500 miles. That was not an unusual migration pattern for these large river fish. These are big fish. Colorado pike minnow, historically, we have records of up to 7 feet. They are the largest minnow in North America. They are amazing, amazing animals. So these are fish that have evolved in a real big river system. And so they migrate long courses. They deal with high variability. If you think about in the summertime, the flows are probably pretty low. But we have up to 20,000, 30,000 CFS, which is a huge big river system. So these animals have adapted to this variable desert environment. And they've been there for thousands and thousands of years. And they are truly amazing, amazing fish.
Wow. But with the sort of the installation of dams, removal of water for irrigation and other things, introduction of non-native fish, these fish have become at risk.
Right. The biggest threat that we face with right now with recovery of these fishes is invasive species. And these are, we have a lot of, there are probably right now 32 non-native fish that are found in the Colorado and the Green Rivers. And these are all fish that came from somewhere else, that we introduced them as sport fish, we introduced them as bait fish. There's just been a lot of different reasons they've been introduced.
Right,
and these fish are very naive. They don't know how to compete with many of these species.
Hmm. I was reading, actually, that many of the fish species were actually introduced between the 1930s and 50s by state and federal agencies, actually.
Exactly. Back then, we didn't really know. We were just trying to provide a service to our public that wanted to be able to fish. And in many cases, the native fishes have been fished out. So if you think about cutthroats, you know, if you know very much about Utah Lake used to be the home of the Bonneville cutthroat trout. Well, the early settlers totally exploited that fishery, and so the cutthroat was removed, or totally removed from the Utah Lake. So then we started as a state agency trying to provide a service for our public to provide fishing. We started introducing these fish to provide fish for subsistence, you know, especially 50 years ago. People that went fishing, they kept them. They ate them. That was part of substance of their survival for them. So we didn't know better back then, but we do know better now.
And I guess it's sort of ironic, though, that some of the same agencies involved with introducing these fish way back then are now, decades later, working to get rid of them.
Well, see, this is what the Division of Wildlife Resources, the stand that we're looking at now is that we want to recover, we want to protect and recover native fishes, but we also still want to provide the service that the angling public wants. They still want these fish. They still want the walleye, and they want the smallmouth bass. They want those species. So what we as a division are looking at is that there are places for those fish, and most of those are in reservoirs. They're artificial systems where we have smallmouth bass and we can have walleye. But in the river where we're trying to recover the fish, that's where we're doing the non-native removal. We're trying to remove all those predaceous non-native fish that prevent us from recovering these species.
I see. Now, so I understand that there are actually quite a few non-native fish species in the Colorado River system, but it's true that not all of them are necessarily harmful or considered predatorial to the natives.
True. Remember I said that there was like 32 non-native species? There's only four that we are really targeting, and that's burbot that was illegally introduced into Flaming Gorge. We are hoping that it does not get into the Green River. That's a real big concern of ours. Northern pike has escaped from a reservoir in Colorado, made its way into Utah. It's highly predatory, piscivorous fish. So it's a major predator on all of our native species. Smallmouth bass and walleye. Hmm. Walleye, and these smallmouth bass and walleye, they've been escaping from reservoirs. They get into the system and their populations just explode. They flourish in these warm, desert, big river systems. Hmm. So what our goal is remove the non-natives within the river system so that we can allow the natives to flourish and to increase, so hopefully we can get to the point where we downlist these species but still have those species in the reservoirs for the anglers. So some of the steps that we're taking within the division is we are looking at creating triploid fish, sterile fish. And so a lot of what we're doing looking forward is creating sterile smallmouth bass, sterile walleye, so that we can put them in a reservoir. If they escape, it's just a very local impact. It's not that they get into the river, then they can reproduce, and then you have this exploding, persistent population. So those are two of the things we're looking at is, one, sterile fish using triploid fish, and two is putting barriers below these reservoirs so that if the fish do escape, they don't get into the river system where they then can cause impact to the native species.
And maybe can you describe how exactly do they escape from the reservoirs?
Well, there's several ways. Most of the reservoirs have a outflow that's down low in the reservoir, and that's what provides water to the river for irrigation. That some fish do escape from there. That's a very low percentage because generally that's 80 to 120 feet deep. So most of our fish species are not down that deep within the reservoir, but we have documented that they do escape from there. The biggest way that they can escape is over the spillway. Many of our reservoirs, they fill them up to the top and then they allow them to spill. Well, those fish go right over the top of the reservoir, down the spillway into the river. There's a third way. We do have anglers that move fish. We've documented that in many cases of anglers that have moved fish from a reservoir, moved them where they want them to be, and many times that's within the river.
Interesting.
And also, I probably should mention that the state of Utah, we implemented what we call a must kill. And those four species that I mentioned, that if you catch those fish within the Green, the Colorado, and many of the tributaries, if you catch one of those four fish, you have to take it. Hmm. You have to kill it. Because we are sending a message that these fish do not belong in the river system. They belong in the reservoirs where angling public can enjoy them, but they do not belong in the river system where we're trying to recover these species. So the other fish, many of them are small-bodied. They do prey upon larvae, but it seems like they seem to be more compatible with recovery. So we're not pushing that all of these non-natives are taken out, just those that seem to have the highest predatory impact.
So I guess another question How do a lot of these fish taste?
They're delicious.
Yeah?
From what I understand, burbot, they call it the lobster, freshwater lobster.
Huh.
So, and the reason why they are so sought after is because they are great tasting. The angling public loves to fish for these fish.
Hmm, interesting. This is really more of a question about the native fish that we have that we're trying to preserve. And perhaps this is a question you get sometimes, but why is it so important to preserve our native fish? Why should people care?
You know, I look at it as, I'm from Utah. I was born and raised in Utah, and I'm very proud of Utah, and I love Utah. And I look at it as, these are amazing fish that have been here for thousands and thousands of years, and they're very unique in their life history, their biology, and they're big fish. They are big, cool, beautiful, beautiful fish. I should have brought you some pictures. But they are really cool fish. I look at it as, that's part of my heritage. I think that is great that we can say, these are the fish that were here thousands and thousands of years ago, long before man ever arrived. These fish have been here. I want them to be here for my grandkids. I think we can still have both. We can still have fish for the angling public and still preserve our native species so that those folks that care about native species, they can go, they can see those native fish, and that we allow their persistence into the future.
Yeah, well, wish you the best of luck, and it'd be interesting to see in the next few years. Hopefully these efforts will pay off.
Thank you.
Again, that was Chrissy Wilson. She's the Native Aquatic Species Program Coordinator for the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources.